Welcome to the Wise Men Say preview show. We're here to look at the game between Sunderland and Stoke City at the Stadium of Light. I am Richard Easterbrook. I'm not joined by Matt today. Matt is not here. He's fine. He's just not here. But I am joined by Jimmy Ray. Hello, Jimmy. All right?
Good evening. Yeah, good. Thank you.
Good stuff. Yeah, sorry, Matt. Matt is fine. He's absolutely fine.
He's otherwise engaged.
Yeah, he's a very busy man and he's got a lot on. So it's another fun week in the life of supporting Sunderland AFC. Friday night saw us lose, as you all know, lose 1-0 to Hull City. And yeah, the mood on Wearside has been, to put it quite lightly, it's been a bit grim, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not been great. Understandably so as well, really. I mean, obviously the performance on Friday night was pretty poor. I mean, it says something when Rossini comes out and says that was their worst performance of the calendar year so far, and they still won. I mean, what that says about us if that was their worst performance, because I mean they weren't particularly good, but certainly a little bit more than us. And things just seem to be compounding on one on top of the other at the minute, don't they? It's the old phrase, it never rains but it pours, I guess is pretty true for Sunderland at the minute. Obviously there's issues with
Beale and
what have you. Into the bargain. Yeah. So yeah, quite a bit.
The last few days I was just about refer to the social media side of things and the Beale out campaign, which just got the pace and they're still kind of cracking on. I say it's a campaign, it's just a social media thing, and it has it's kind of made its way to Michael Beale himself, and he's kind of dismissed everything as including fans' kind of legitimate concerns about the team as noise, which is that would be a helpful thing to do.
Well, exactly.
That kind of goes to show that it's so far gone, isn't it, with a lot of fans that they just can't. They're not going to give him credit for anything now.
It's remarkable, not in exactly fairness to him, but in mitigation, I would say it's not exactly an easy question for him to answer, is it? I mean, it's not a lot he can say that's going to make it any better, really. But yeah, I mean, showing some sort of contrition in terms of trying to understand where people are coming from would be a start, which he certainly doesn't appear to be doing. And I think it's, you know, it kind of follows a theme of a lot of his post-match interviews, which seem fairly clear that he wants to try and distance himself from anything negative or bad that's happened. It's kind of like he doesn't want to take responsibility. And, you know, as was kind of discussed on Monday, on the one hand, you can kind of understand that given he's not been here very long, but obviously at the same time, he is the manager. He did take the job and things have got, in my opinion, visibly sort of worse on the pitch under his management in terms of like both. I know you discussed this last week in terms of the stats, but also even just the eye test as well. I think we visibly looked on Friday night slower off the ball, less intense. There was certainly less intensity going forwards, less, you know, fewer patterns of play. It all seemed more disjointed, more laboured. And I can only think that that's instructional because those players certainly weren't playing like that under previous, either under Dodds or Mowbray before him. We had bad performances under Mowbray, but I would say it was never a case of the sort of slow, ponderous lack of ideas build up and sort of lack of off the ball intensity for long periods. Obviously, that happened at times, but tend to be isolated, like a bad 10 minutes here or there in which we may concede. Whereas on Friday, there's like the whole game really was like that, wasn't it? There was very little that you could really be excited about from Sunderland perspective. And then for the manager to kind of say, I don't know, if I feel like he does need to try and take more responsibility, in my opinion anyway, for that, even if it is early.
Yeah, I mean, there's diplomatic ways to put it, as you say, just start off with a little bit of contrition. You know, the fans are the major revenue drivers for the club at the moment. You know, such a day comes when they get promoted into the Premier League, that'll stop being the case. But that's fine. But at the moment, where I hate to say we pay your wages, because it's a lot more complicated than that. But we are not to be fooled with in terms of, first of all, taking that support for granted. But kind of second of all, then going on to hold that support almost in contempt, just to say, on a good day you can be our 11th, you can be our 12th man, but don't be too nasty about us because we're young players. It's like there's
Well, that's it. It's like you've got to,
and
if you're
don't
going to.
just assume, don't just assume that we're not, we haven't given a lot of these young players a chance. We have, like
Well,
we've,
yeah, and we continue to do, and we will continue to do. I mean, you can't.
yeah.
I remember saying similar things about Lee Johnson at times where he took a similar line. It was almost like, well, you can't really expect the good side of the support if you can't handle not the bad side in terms of us being bad, but in terms of the negative side when things aren't working on the pitch. Like, we're not going to only praise, and then if things go badly, not do anything. I mean, you know, if you like you say, if you're gonna say that the fan base, you know, the support can be the 12th man, then obviously, if things aren't going well, you have to take it on the chin that supporters are going to say when they're not happy as well, because that is, you know, part of football. We're not the only fan base that does that. Certainly, no, I'd say we're probably more patient with a lot of aspects of on pitch and off pitch things than other fan bases have been, especially given what's happened in
Absolutely.
recent years. And it's certainly not something to be taken for granted. For me, it's kind of, and again, just talking back to other previous recent managers, Parkinson would be another example. It kind of reminds me of the type of manager who is used to managing under smaller fan bases in maybe, you know, less expectant, certainly not in terms of numbers or where they want to be. So, for example, if you look at you know, McBeal, obviously, QPR, probably maybe more his size of, no offense to QPR particularly, but I mean, I'd say, but maybe more his size of club in terms of expectation and you know, sheer numbers. Whereas at Rangers, he struggled with the expectation, and it started off a bit like this, and it kind of carried on being like this till he got sacked, and feels like it's kind of similar things happening with us, and you don't want to start off on the wrong foot with fans, especially when, you know, you're coming in to follow a manager who was popular. Mowbray was very good at being the diplomat in terms of, like, he would criticize, you know, off pitch things to an extent, but he was always, you know, he always felt like his press conferences, his post-match interviews were fair in the main. And also, he certainly never, you know, took on the fan base, if you like. He wasn't always the most effusive in praise for support either, but that's okay. I mean, you know, I think he almost took it for granted. Like, you know, he knew he was managing Sunderland. He recognized the support at times, but he didn't sort of go out of his way to praise us, only to then, you know, turn around and complain when things went bad either. I think he, you know, and that probably came from his experience, you know, obviously hundreds of games managed, versus Beale and his lack of, not to say that experience is everything, because there are managers in the league who've managed less games than McBeal have, who are doing better with their clubs than what he's doing with us. So it's just hard to point out what the big issue is, because there's probably more than one of them with him. But yeah, sorry for going on a bit. I haven't actually been on a pod since you know, he sort of has been in situ, so I've sort of get
So you're
quite a bit
just
out there.
getting it all out.
It's been a few
Just
weeks,
having a
so.
Brain dump
And I know
of things that you were going to
people
say on the
like to say
pod.
I'm positive, but I can't just lie and say things are good when they're not, can I? Because I'm not, you
I
know,
think
that's not what we're here for, is it?
very few would be positive about, you know, the run that we've had. You know, we haven't won a game since the Preston game. Beale's record isn't great. You know, it's played 6-1-2, drew one, lost three in the league. So it's just about over 1 point a game.
It's like mid-table at best for them, that really, isn't it?
Well, I
Like,
was about to say that's not going to move the needle, is it? And I think a lot of the frustration is that we've kind of abandoned this season.
yeah, I mean,
Yes, we sit on the precipice of being able to get into the playoffs, but you look at the numbers behind that, it's
that's
not
more
pushing
due
in
to
that direction, is it?
previous good work earlier in the season more than. I mean, the only caveat to that would be obviously the wins under Dodds against West Brom and Leeds, which are two of the best performances of the season, in my opinion, which obviously happened without Mowbray. But I fail to see what Beale's added to any of that. In fact, like I said it before, to kind of touch on it again, it feels like we've visibly got worse under him. It seems to be intentional, because we seem to play, like I said, I don't know why the players would voluntarily start playing at a much slower, less intense, more rigid pace when surely they know their best football and the way they play best is the way they have done. When it's been, kind of a bit more death or glory, a bit more all-out attack, a bit more last-ditch defence. But that suited us. I mean, look at, the last-ditch defending at West Brom away last season and to go down the end and score that goal through Sirkin. I mean, that kind of typified the way we, the way we played and what we did best. And it kind of bridged the gap between quality, if you like, because we maybe made up for our lack of experience, and maybe big name quality with the technical ability combined with the fearlessness of youth and the collective. Whereas I feel like we play less as a team now. It's more like give the ball to Clark and hope that he does something, which we never really did under Mowbray, to be honest. I know Clark's numbers this season were better anyway, but I feel like for the majority of the season, that was just him having a good season. Whereas now it feels like he's kind of a bit like what it was like with McGeady under Parkinson and sorry, not Parkinson, under Johnson, where it was like, well, if all else fails, just give it to him. And yes, sometimes it'll work, but you need more than that because obviously every player will have, sorry, every team will have a player who scores more goals than anybody else. That's normal. But what isn't normal is maybe to have such a gulf in numbers. Like, the start, I think it was Matt who mentioned that no one other than Clark scored an away goal for us in God knows how long now. And it just seems that like there's more to it than that. It was never really like that last year because we had, because although Stewart scored, I mean, because we played most of the team, that was Stewart last year, really. It was, players to that Ahmad, Roberts, Clark, but we were never a one-man team, really.
No,
And
I looked at the goal scoring stats a couple of weeks ago. I think when Clark was on, I think he was on 11 or 12. And you see the drop off from Clark to the next nearest goal scorer is quite vast. Last season, you had Ahmad scoring, probably, I think he was top scorer with 13, maybe. But there was no, the, you know, Stewart was the next top scorer after that with 10, and it was everyone had weighed in.
Then
The goals came
Sims got
from
a
all
few
over the
earlier,
pitch.
then Robert's got a few, even Gellert, to be fair, by the end of the season, I think he got four or five, and obviously we had goals from midfield. I think Dan Neil scored a couple, and even I think Sirkin got four or five as well. So I think the goals were shared around a fair bit more than the season. I mean, it's not so much of a problem at home. We have had obviously Job scored some good goals at home, and scored a fair few from corners through Ballard and stuff. So it seems to be more away, and obviously this game, coming games at home, so I won't focus too much on the away form. But I think just as a general point in terms of like how things are maybe different now to what they were, and not in a good way, it does serve sort of a point to mention. That really, I think we need more ideas in terms of being more creative with personnel, and also maybe just being a bit more sort of loyal. I mean, the way he sort of dropped Roos in after Roos scored against Preston, and then obviously he played against Newcastle, but that's not really a fair judgment of him. Then he gets dropped, and then obviously after digging out Aushish after the Ipswich game, I feel like he's not maybe as loyal to his players as what. He wants loyalty from the fans, if you like. I think it's almost a bit like he seems to be quite adept at finding somebody else to blame, be it the fan base or be it individual players or whatever. And it's kind of quite transparent, isn't it? And it's also quite early for that to be happening. It seems like he's quite worried, which then worries me because I think, well, if you're worried this early, then it's not a good sign from your manager, is it really?
No, I know, but it does maybe perhaps explain a few things that there might be a bit of fear coming over in the training ground, which is transmitting quite quickly to the players. And maybe, maybe Beale's been given pretty stringent targets on what the club are expecting from the team this season, and he's already feeling that pressure to
Oh,
deliver
he's
the
certainly
result.
feeling the pressure. You can tell. I mean, his presser
Because
today, his post-matches, it's obvious he's feeling it.
there's been no kind of bedding in period, and he came in at a, I'm not defending him here by any stretch, but he did come in at a time where there's going to be quick fire games. He came in for the Coventry game. 3 days later, we had Boxing Day against Hull, Rotherham, Preston, Newcastle game. So he had up until, 2 weeks ago, he had a pretty big run of fixtures. And he's not in it by his own admission, hasn't had much time in the training ground. But now I think that kind of it's almost got worse. the
Well,
longer
yeah,
he's
and
had
I
on the
mean,
training ground.
I guess
Like, it's quite incredible.
I mean, you'd like to think he wouldn't want us to play like deliberately worse than how we have done previously, but the only other factor I could think that may explain some of that would be tiredness. Obviously, I guess you'd like to think things will improve now he has more of like a week between games, or at most one midweek game every few weeks. So maybe things will improve, but the issue is he's not even saying that. Like he's not, if he was to come out and maybe be a bit more honest and say maybe it has been a lot, and rather than trying to blame other people, maybe just be a bit more circumspect and maybe give us a bit more realism as well and say, it is hard and stuff like that. I mean, it can't be easy to be a manager and give interviews and press conferences when things aren't going well. It's not certainly not a job I envy in that respect, but other managers seem to be able to manage to do it, and when you combine that with the way things have gone from at other jobs, it is kind of hard to take his side. And nobody wants the manager to fail. It's just obviously it's hard to see where things are going to get better from at this point in time. But you could certainly start by getting us 3 points on Saturday, I think, because he certainly needs them, and we certainly need them, as a club as well.
Yeah, you're not right. We're now in the realms of, performance perhaps not important, result very much important,
I'd
just to
say
get us
so,
back
yeah.
on that right track. Outside of the football side, the Red and White Army have published the meeting minutes with Kirill Louis-Dreyfus and Steve Davison and Christian Speakman and also David Bruce. The meeting that was held last week, so the minutes have come out just before we started recording. So we're gonna digest them. Not tonight. They're not gonna be done tonight. Like, no chance of having that. Any agree that at all? So once they do come out, we'll put on either the future pod or on the website itself. We're gonna look now at the Stoke City game. So we're gonna take a quick break, and we'll come back after that with all your news ahead of Sunderland v Stoke.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome back to the Wise Men Say podcast. On Saturday, Sunderland host Stoke City at the Stadium of Light, our second home game in a row, as we look to get back to winning ways. Both managers have been appointed within 24 hours of each other. Stephen Schumacher, of course, coming from Plymouth to join Stoke the day after we appointed Michael Beale. Both records not too dissimilar. Both have two wins under the belt. Stoke have three draws and have lost one, so they have 9 points from the last six. Whereas Michael Beale's record is as you well know, it's played six, won two, lost three, and he's drawn one, giving him 7 points. Both Stoke and Sunderland went out in the third round to a Premier League opposition, with Stoke City losing to Brighton 4-2, I think the score was. So it's not the first time Schumacher will have come up against a Sunderland side, having led Plymouth to a 2-0 win down at Home Park, and it's going to be an interesting matchup for kind of two young managers with a reputation behind them for two different reasons.
Yeah, I mean Schumacher was somebody who I would have quite happily seen us maybe take a look at as a potential replacement. Obviously, Stoke bought him out of his contract at Plymouth, which is something obviously we weren't prepared to do with any manager, which is probably why we didn't really explore that option. But yeah, it's funny that you say he's had similar results so far to Beale, because I think the atmosphere around Stoke with him in charge is different. I think they were very much ready for Alex Neil to go. So he's come in replacing a manager who wasn't particularly popular, and like obviously Beale with us,
And I think he's from what I've seen anyway, maybe not necessarily based on results, but I think performances have improved under him for the most part. I think he's obviously trying to get them playing a bit more attacking, a bit more, maybe similar to the way that we used to play under Mowbray in terms of like, you know, he's trying to get them to be more, score more goals and what have you. And it's worked sometimes, hasn't worked others, but I think his first couple of, you know, month and a half, whatever, in charge has been different to Beale's quite a lot of ways. Obviously, he did mastermind a good win for Plymouth against us earlier in the season. Interestingly, the guy who got their assists in that game, Luke Cundall, has since signed for Stoke. So he's going to be someone who comes up against us again, having been good against us earlier in the season. So that's going to be interesting too. So yeah, it's going to be quite a tough game. Obviously, the return of the Gooch as well is going to be interesting in terms of whether he's going to. Presumably, he'll play. He seems to play quite a lot for Stoke, and he's obviously, as we know, a good player for the level in terms of, you know, versatility, work rate, and stuff. So yeah, I'm cautious about this one. I think it's our record against Stoke recently hasn't been great either in general. So obviously, remember last season's debacle.
Well, yes, yeah. So, yeah, with best. Yeah. Don't want to remember that one at all. I'm same as you, Jim. I am concerned. I think it kind of speaks to a lot of the concern around the club in that, you know, a lot of fans look forward to going to a match. And you should look forward to going to a match, considering you pay quite a bit for it.
Yeah, it takes, I mean, I'm going.
You know, it's your entire day, especially for
my
you.
My weekend, to be fair.
Yeah.
You know, I'm tying it in with Simon and Dad anyway, so it's not too bad. But yeah, it's. And I normally do look forward to it. I mean, I'm still looking forward to it insofar as, like, you know, I'd never go into a match thinking, oh, we're not, you know, nothing's going to happen. But it is certainly harder to get excited about games, I'd say, recently than it has been for quite a while for me, probably since maybe the dark days of Johnson. Although, to be fair, we did have some good runs under Johnson as well. I'd say it's more similar to Parkinson in terms of general vibe around the place. Obviously, it's a higher level and stuff, but it's quite impressive that Beale's managed to make it feel a bit like Parky in League One in the space of, what, like 6 to 8 weeks or whatever?
Yeah, it's quite the transformation.
Yeah.
compared to Stoke, I mean, and it's a question of perception, you know?
It is, like, yeah, because on paper, Stoker, it's not that much difference in the manager's starts, but I think...
2 points better off. But what Schumacher did when he came in, he instantly changed the shape.
Yeah.
And he preferred having a 4-3-3 when he was at Plymouth, and he's gone straight into that with Stoke, and he's fit those players into his system. Gooch was a little bit of a victim of that. He hasn't played that much under Schumacher.
He was very much an Alex Neil signing, wasn't he? I think maybe he'll he might. I mean, the good thing with Gooch is he's versatile, though, isn't he? So he may get game time, but like you say, he's probably not, if they're playing a 4-3-3, you're going to be first choice in any position in that system. I can't think.
No, but they've moved. I think they've moved their right back to left back, I think, was one of the things that they did. And Gooch under Alex Neil was playing left back. So I think he did play on Boxing Day in their victory on that day. And I think he scored as well. So
yeah, he did. Yeah, he did.
He is coming in under Schumacher. And I think he'll be one of those. He'll be desperate for a game on Saturday, I think. And I'm pretty sure. You say sometimes you doubt whether they'll get a good reception when they come back, but you know with Lyndon Gooch they're definitely going to get a good reception.
And so he should, you know. I mean, he didn't even want to leave, let's be fair.
Well, arguably he shouldn't have been. He shouldn't have been sold.
No. Right. I mean, I get the whole not first choice thing, but especially since the recent injuries at left back for ourselves, we certainly could have used the Gooch. And also, you know, as he showed through his sort of seasons here, he didn't necessarily always bring the most ability to the team. Not to say he was a bad footballer, but he certainly made the transition from League One to Championship and played various positions in both leagues, really. And I'd say he'll be missed. I get he probably has played more for Stoke than he would have done for us. So I do get from his perspective, you know, maybe more first team football was what he wanted, especially at this stage. But at the same time, Yeah, he clearly still loves the club. I did enjoy even liking tweets about the Black Cats Bar scenario and stuff. That was you know, shows he's rare, you know, at least you know, still thinks about us and whatever. So I mean, you'd like to think he'd put in a subpar performance on purpose on Saturday, to be honest. I know I'd do that if I was a professional footballer and had to play against Sunderland. I'd certainly have a mysterious injury, or I'd just deliberately put in like a really bad performance. I'm not one of those people who, because like some people say, oh yeah, I'd happily play for. I mean, I wouldn't play for Newcastle. I'd rather not be here. If I had to choose between being a professional footballer and having to play for Newcastle, or not being a professional footballer at all, I'd really struggle to play for Newcastle, I have to say. And certainly if I had to play against Sunderland for anyone, I'd struggle.
I think I'd sign, but then I'd retire instantly.
Or just get permanently injured.
Yeah. For the duration of a 3-year contract.
Take them for all their worth. So they'd take them to the court of arbitration for sport at the end, just to really drag it all out.
So what are you expecting from Stoke on Saturday?
I'm gonna expect quite a bit more intensity. And sort of a bit more. I think they'll be better than Hull. Not necessarily. I mean, more so because, like I said earlier, Hull weren't great themselves last Friday, and the game was quite even, and the both teams were quite poor. I think we're going to have to step it up at least a couple of notches, because I think Stoke will probably be a bit more intense. Obviously, they've got the new manager themselves. They've got players who want to impress. He seems to be quite tactically adept himself as well. So, yeah, I think it's going to be a case of we're going to have to try and somehow find a bit of intensity, because we've really lacked that. I mean, I think we were, you know, in the Ipswich game away, but obviously you away at a team in second place, you wouldn't expect to be the ones who had to dictate the game and you know, be the ones who pushed. I think we were okay, you know, as an away team at a good team in that game. But I think most times we've had to sort of force the issue, we've struggled. And I think we're going to have to do that on Saturday, because Stoke will probably try and overwhelm us early. And obviously they know the feeling around the club, that they'll be wanting an early goal, because that'll really, first of all, deflate the atmosphere, and also obviously fragile confidence among our team at the moment as well. I think it's quite obvious that we're struggling for confidence, and to go behind early and stuff is going to be the nightmare scenario, if you like, isn't it? So we're really going to have to try and get ahead. I think if we can get ahead, we've got the quality, probably I'd say more so in some areas than Stoke, certainly going forward. I think we have to remember we are where we are in the league, and although recent results have been poor, at the same time we have also got good players. Not everything is bad. It's quite easy to think that everything's bad at the minute, but I think it's we have to remember that the 11 players on the pitch will have all done good things for us this season already. It's just a case of refinding that and making sure that we don't succumb to the narrative. The narrative would be Stoke getting an early goal and the toxicity ramping up and all that. And I feel like we need to try and fight that, because as much as I don't want Beale to be, you know, the manager of my choice, to say he is the manager, we're still a club within, you know, a decent, within sort of 3 points of the playoffs, if you like. We can't afford to throw away games until on the off chance the manager gets sacked. And I'd never want Sunderland to lose a game anyway. So I think for me, we need to win the game. I think a win would boost confidence. It would also, given where we are in January and stuff as well, and the possibility of new players coming in, it would be quite nice to have something on the pitch that maybe would then be sort of amped up, if you like, with any new signings that may be announced early on next week. And maybe the feeling around the place might change a bit. Who knows? But I think the last thing we want to do is hand the initiative to Stoke. Albeit they're a good side. They can be a good side, I'd say. The league table doesn't necessarily suggest they're always good, but yeah, it's going to be a tough game. But one, I think we can win if we play to the best of our ability, we can do it. My worry is Beale hasn't shown as a manager he's able to get that out of us for 90 minutes. The first half against Preston would be the closest to what I'd say would be how I'd like us to play. Whether we get that is another thing, because obviously I'd say Stoke are possibly a little bit better than Preston. But
yeah, that is the concern, that this form is irretrievable. It feels like even on last Friday when Hull scored, like previously, if we conceded a goal to the away side, you'd think we've got a chance of getting back in this. And I just kind of sat down. I was like, I knew that we weren't going to get back in that game.
And I think a few
of the fans around us were the same. And
that's a vibe thing, isn't it? Because to all like practical purposes, we definitely could have got back into the game in terms of how long was left and how the game had gone to that point. But like you say, it just didn't feel like it, did it? It felt... And that and momentum and vibe and feeling, all those things that they're hard to measure, but they're all definitely there in football and they have a big part to play. Both when things are going well and when things are going badly in different ways. And I think the only thing Beale can try and do is he needs to try and set us out to seize the initiative, seize the momentum and really show that there is more to him as a manager than what's been shown so far. And also in terms of the players to show that he can get us playing the way that they should be played. Because the way that we've set up under him and played so far does not get the best out of them. It's obvious. We can see it.
Yeah.
Then Mr. I do really good training sessions and I've got loads of coaching badges. You'd expect him to be able to see it as well. So far hasn't been the case, but yeah, it's for me, like I say, I can't say anything else than I want us to win the game. And I think there is a chance we can. I'm not as confident as I would normally be, given obviously what we've already discussed. But in terms of prediction, I'm going to predict we win 2-0. It's more of hope than expectation.
That's great. You're bringing that the positivity.
I do think we can do it in terms of like can our 11 players plus bench beat squads 11 players plus bench 2-0? Yes. Have we done that to teams similar to them this season? Yes. Have we done it to a team similar to them under McBeal? If you say Preston similar to Stoke, then technically yes. Although, like I said, I think Stoke may be a bit better than Preston. But yeah, I think we just need something from somewhere. So I don't want to give up the ghost yet because it's too early. It would be easy just to write it off, but I don't want to do that just yet. So I'm gonna probably be shouted at for being too positive, but I'm going to say that we're going to win 2-0.
I think I'm going to predict a 1-1 draw. I'm trying to be positive. I am quite positive, but I know a few fans have been. I know a few like people on the pod have been reluctant to compare this to 2017 to 18 season. I'm feeling lots of parallels from my own perspective on how I feel going into a game. Yeah. I didn't have a season ticket then, but
I didn't have a season ticket that season either, actually.
I'd pick up the odd spare or the odd like unwanted ticket, of which there were many that season. Yeah. I'm not going to that.
I think I only went to like 4 or 5 games that season, to be honest, because I didn't have a season ticket and it was the year I got married, so I was trying to save money, so I just didn't bother getting one because it was obviously just after the relegation. I was like, and then I was quite happy I didn't get one, obviously the way the season started, and then I certainly wasn't going to get a half-to-half season card after, you know, at Christmas or whatever, so, you know, just...
Yeah, if I was going into the game, I was either watching the stream or listening to the radio or whatever the legal thing is to do. But when I'd go to the games, though, I just wouldn't expect anything from it. Yeah. And I'd set myself in that fashion so that
it's the worst place to be as a fan, isn't it? Because you think, what's the point? Like the hope, there has to be hope, but then it's up to us to generate the hope, really. Fans can enhance the experience and we can be positive and hope for the best, but there has to be something there to ignite that. And it feels like at the minute there's not.
that's a lot point of people, I was going to make.
Yeah.
You know, when they do criticise the supporters for maybe being a bit quiet, and I know that is a criticism that goes around quite a lot, especially for Sunderland, that the fans aren't as vociferous. They've got to have something to hang on to. They've got to give them something like, as you say, a little spark, a little something. A 2-foot challenge on the touchline by Trey Hume just gets people started.
It does.
And you saw the atmosphere against Newcastle. That was unreal for the first
it was amazing.
15, 20 minutes. It was as vociferous. It sounded like a derby.
It brought back so many memories from like, I've not felt anything like that since the last time we played them, probably, to be fair.
Yeah. And I think giving us something to to get excited about would be a start. And that's just a start. That's a starting point for me. And I think a 1-1 draw, while it's not going to set Pulse's race, and it's something to work on, it's something to...
Because it's about the performance as well. Because a team, and this is sometimes I think a trap that people fall into is that you have to take each result in context, in the same way that a bad team can win games, and they can almost paper over cracks. I think if a performance is good, even if you don't win, that you can still, while not being happy you haven't won the game, you can still be, there are still positives to take from a game potentially, you know, if players have played well, if chances have been created and that sort of thing. And we're not seeing any of that at the minute, really. The results we're getting are exactly what we deserve. And it might be nice for us to maybe try and show a bit more adventurousness and willingness to try and take risks, to try and get a bit more out of a game than what we've been doing. And like you say, that, you know, if we start on the front foot attacking intensity and all that, the crowd will get behind that. It's just when you're watching really slow, kind of rigid, one-dimensional play, which isn't getting us anywhere, and then the manager's coming out and criticising you, then what are fans expected to do, really?
Exactly.
That's it.
In terms of team selection here, would you make any changes?
I'm just trying to. Well, I mean, to be honest, I think Bellingham does need a rest. To be fair, it seems like he's playing an inordinate amount of football, given, you know, how young he is and how much he's played previously. I'm just going to check the lineup.
I think you're right on Bellingham. I thought he looked very leggy on Friday.
Yeah, and other than that, I mean, I wouldn't play Sealt at right back again.
I'd seen the back of them, but apparently Sealt at right back's a thing again.
I mean, I actually think Sealt, when he looks decent, like not as a right back, but as a defender, you know, as a centre back. I think especially in the game against Leeds under Dodds, I think he had a really, really good game then, and I think that was a part of a back three, wasn't it, if I remember rightly?
I like the look of him. Like, and he centre half, he glides with the ball,
given our lack of proper fullbacks at the minute, I think you could definitely try a three at the back with wing backs. I think that would help. Whether he'll do that, I don't know, but I think Roussin needs a run of games, so I'd start him again definitely. In terms of behind, I think Pritchard has to play, Neil has to play, Clark obviously has to play. Ekwa hasn't been in great form recently, but at the same time, I don't think there's anyone who can play ahead of him. Mateta seems to be on his way out the door, and I'm not sure Mateta would be any better necessarily than Ekwa, other than he may have a bit more defensively. At the same time, it seems unlikely. I think it would be Neil to sit and Ekwa to be a bit further forward for me. Because Ekwa does struggle more defensively than Neil does, and I think that'll be it. There's not a lot really. I think it's not so much a personnel thing as a general. While Roberts is injured and stuff, there isn't that much that you can say needs personnel wise to be massively different, apart from maybe not playing Seal to right back and giving Bellingham a rest. Aushish needs to play again at some point, because obviously his last involvement was the Ipswich game and then Beale dug him out, so it might be nice for him to get a bit of a shot at redemption, if you like, because I know he's not contributed a massive amount in terms of goals and assists. I think he does look a decent player, albeit one who probably needs to play his way in a bit more. He certainly looks like he has the ability for the level, just maybe not the experience yet. And he's not going to get that by sitting on the bench, is he? Let's be fair. So, more to come on for Pritchard rather than starting ahead of him. That'll probably be all I'd say on the selection, really.
Yeah, I think. I don't know what can be done about filling the place that's been left by Roberts. I know there's some stats going around that I think we had 0% of our attacks came from the right side.
Yeah. I think if anyone
has a little bit of an imbalance.
Yeah. I mean, probably Barr out there over anyone, because he has at
I
times
think so too, yeah.
shown flashes that he can do it. Although he's quite inconsistent, but, you know, at least he can play there and has played there reasonably well, albeit more off the bench. I think when he starts there, it doesn't always work, because obviously he has started games doing well, like earlier in the season against Southampton, but Roberts was playing with him. It wasn't him replacing Roberts. I think, it's hard to say, other than we are just missing him, to be honest. I think Roberts, albeit he hasn't got a goal or assist this season, but he does add a lot. And certainly he takes the pressure off Clark, because not everything has to go down Clark's side all the time then.
Yeah, I think it was against Plymouth where Roberts went off and Barr came on as a right winger.
Yeah.
I thought he looked sharp, and he has shown that like early on in the season he had a run on the wing, like coming off the bench and play, but now he seems to be this everyman.
He did well against Ipswich, to be fair. He got the assist for Clark. Yeah. And he occupies defenders because he's tricky and quite quick, but I just think that he's quite erratic in his play as well, and obviously that will come with youth and stuff, but it's kind of, I can see why managers don't necessarily trust him all the time, because he can make some weird decisions. But like you say, at the same time, when he's on it, he is good. I think he's just concentration and experience is what's lacking.
Yeah. I think what we've got at the moment is a little bit of a vacuum on the right. So I think whoever goes there needs to hold that position, not drift inside.
And obviously Stoke will know that as well, so they may well try and exploit it.
Yeah, exactly. So that's a concern. I would bring Bayern, yeah. But I would start with Rusin, and have, I don't know. I think you may be right in dropping Job and having Pritchard play in a kind of that 10 role,
yeah,
the furthest forward of the three midfielders with Ekwa and Neil, kind of doing the job behind him. So that's a 4-3-3. As opposed to a 4-2-3-1.
Yeah.
It's how you look at it, I suppose. But, yeah.
Whether we've got the ball.
Something.
That's how it tends to work, isn't it? One shape off the ball, another one on it.
Yeah, there's a similar issue for me on the left side, is that with the absence of a left-footed player, we find ourselves turning inside and there's no overlap option for Clark. So when Clark does get doubled up on, which has been increasingly the case, there would be that out ball for Elise, who would be
overlapping. That's one thing.
But we don't have that. So
if we do get that Callum Styles deal done, he plays left back quite well. I mean, quickly to mention him, actually, I think he would be a decent signing. He was part of that Millwall side last season that we obviously just pipped to playoffs on the last day. Two, three different positions. You know, for his age, he's got a lot of games under his belt, so I'd be quite happy if we got him through the door, to be fair. I think he'd be a useful addition to the squad. Mm. Certainly.
But we are lacking left-footed players.
Yeah, and he is one of them. And a lot of his, by all accounts, I think a lot of his best work comes as a left-back. So, you know, but he can obviously drop into midfield as well when needed. So he might not be like a headline sort of signing, but I think it's slightly disingenuous to say it's a loan. I mean, it was obviously technically a loan from Barnsley, but he was playing in a top seven championship team last season in Millwall. Obviously Barnsley own him, but he tends to, I think it's, they must be asking too much for teams to buy him. But Millwall owned him last season, seemed to do all right for them, given they finished just behind us. I'd be quite happy to see him come in. I think it'd be useful.
Well, keep an eye on the socials for any transfers. Currently our transfer totaliser is 0 out, 0 in. There's no imminent chance of that changing.
Jack Diamond's gone on loan to Carlisle, actually, I would just say.
Is that being confirmed?
Carlisle announced it. Yeah.
Right. So that's one out. Loan. So let's see how that develops. So I'm not expecting, I don't think any of us are expecting anything before Saturday. So Saturday is the squad that we have right now.
Yeah.
There'll be a reaction pod on Saturday from Eleanor or Mick or any one of the many people that we have doing podcasts for us. And then Gareth and Stephen will be back on Monday with a bit more of a sober look at the game. Until then, thanks very much for listening.